mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the tough things in life is trying to figure out what makes a teenager tick. I've had five of them, and I confess that I still don't know. And this week, my eldest grandson matriculated to Huntington University. So now I have a whole new generation that I don't understand. About 15 years ago, two researchers by the name of Christian and Denton decided to do a study of the attitudes of teenagers in America about religion. And they put it together, and this is what they found. Most people in America who are teens believe there's a God who exists. Duh. It had to get here somehow. And they believe that this God wants everybody to be good, be nice, be fair, that God wants everybody to be happy and to feel good about themselves, and that he doesn't really care to be involved in their lives much, but that when people die, if they've been good and if they've tried to look after each other, everybody gets to go to heaven no matter what they believe. And they concluded that what they called moralistic therapeutic deism was the default religious position of America. Well, no wonder. How many of you went to school in America? It's called grading on the curve. We were all graded on the curve in school, and we figure God must grade on the curve. But Jesus had a different idea.
Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, he will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out, people will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last."
Perplexing. The question is, Lord, are many or are few going to make it into heaven? And you'll notice that Jesus doesn't answer the question. Jesus doesn't say there are going to be a lot of people. Jesus doesn't say there are going to be a few people. What Jesus says is, look to yourself and be sure that you are one of them. And he uses a word that we translate into English as agony or agonize. He says, make every effort, strive to enter by the narrow gate. Jesus smashes two myths. The first myth is that all good people go to heaven. We are accustomed, because of how we were raised, to believing that God grades like the school teacher did, that God grades on the curve, and there got to be so many A's and B's and C's and D's and F's. And so we figure that we are the good people. Well, list is a little bit broader. How many people are considered good to make it into that good list? And the point is that none of us are. The law of God always shows us our sin. The law of God always shows us that no matter how hard we try, we could never be good enough to make it into heaven. I love the quote of Luther in the Large Catechism. Our nature by corruption of the first sin is so deeply curved in on itself that it not only bends the best gifts of God towards itself and enjoys them, but it also fails to realize that it so wickedly, curvedly, and viciously seeks all things, even God, for its own pleasure. We not only use God's gifts in a selfish way, we use God in a selfish way. We will do our best to turn God into our genie who delivers on command the requests that we have and answers what our requests are so that we get what we want when we want it. And Luther said, we are inveterately curved in on ourselves. Our very nature curves in on itself. We can't help but be curved in on ourselves. And even though we are baptized believers, set free and forgiven by the gospel, that old nature clings to us. It hangs on and it doesn't want to let go, like a junkyard dog. And so every day we drown the old Adam, that old nature, as we remember our baptism. But remembering our baptism is not an excuse to sin. My wife and I have been using the Large Catechism in our devotion, and I've got to admit, you know, even as a baptized believer, I find that when Luther talks about, you know, love, fear, and trust, love, trust, and fear God above all things, I don't love, trust, and fear God above all things. When Luther talks in there about honoring your father and mother, and he expands it and says that means authority, oh my goodness, I hope he doesn't read my social media. I make some political comments about those in authority. And Luther says how I treat those in authority in government is a reflection of how I feel toward God. Oh my goodness. He says how we treat our parents, how we treat our pastors, how we treat our community leaders reflects how we view God. You get to the eighth commandment. You know, I'm to think the best of my neighbor. You ought to be in one of those Lutheran groups I'm in on the internet. Boy, you should hear the things we say about each other there. I mean, we don't always think the best of each other. We don't always work for protecting each other's reputations. You see, the law of God continues to remind us of our sinfulness, which sticks to us because the old Adam sticks to us. The second myth Jesus shatters is the myth that we can earn our way to heaven by our religious deeds and good works. In verses 26 to 28, he lays that bare. Notice the words Jesus uses. He says in verses 26 and following, then you will begin to say, we ate, drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. And Jesus talks about the things that we do. Well, but Lord, I ushered, I counted the money, I served on a board, I taught VBS or Sunday school, I worked with those tots that would drive you crazy. I never knew you. Ouch. Jesus makes it very clear that not only did not all good people get to heaven, but even the good deeds we do can't guarantee our entry, because the good deeds we do just reflect that curved in on ourself nature where we do them for the credit we get. When I lived in California, I was in Rotary, a more self-congratulatory group I've never seen. We were always patting each other on ourselves on the back. Somebody would say, I took a bag of food to the hungry. Hey, we all clap. Somebody else said, well, I spent an hour tutoring an inner city child. Yay! And we were so busy congratulating ourselves. And Jesus says, I never knew you. All of our good works can never do it. But God's grace can.
Bye. aisle, please. Next aisle, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. Bio, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
If the law shows us our sin, the gospel shows us our Savior. The gospel shows us the one who gave his life for us, who suffered in our place, who by his active obedience obeyed the law perfectly to the very end, and by his passive obedience on the cross suffered as the sacrifice for our sin. He bled and died to pay the price for your sin and my sin, so that Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And so the narrow way is a narrow way, but it is a narrow way that Jesus walked before us. It is a narrow way that Jesus walked for us, and because he did it, and because we come in on his merit, we are permitted into heaven itself. Jesus spotlights two truths, and the first truth in the passage is the narrow way is entered only by repentance and faith. In the end of Luke's gospel, it says, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Well, what is repentance? Repentance involves two things: contrition, being sorry for your sins, and faith. And Luther said that repentance is the lifestyle of the Christian every day of our lives. Every day we wake up with an attitude of repentance, because every day we wake up in need of forgiveness. And we come before the Lord in repentance, which means I am sorry for my sin, and in faith I cling to the promises of God that are made real through the gospel. And every day again, I experience the delight. That's why we say those words. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter how hard the old Adam hangs on, he forgives, he forgives, he forgives. And that is the good news. The good news is that even though the way is narrow, it is entered by repentance and faith. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, who clung to him in faith, he gave the right to become the children of God. The narrow way is only entered by repentance and faith, but who will be saved? Let's go back to that question. Well, Deuteronomy says, the hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all the words of this law. It tells us in our confessional documents, we should concern ourselves with the revealed will of God. We should follow and diligently think about it. Through the word by which he calls us, the Holy Spirit bestows grace, power, and ability for this very purpose. We should not sound the depths of God's hidden predestination, as it is written in Luke 13, where one asks, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Christ answers, strive to enter through the narrow gate. What does that mean? It means because they do not recognize the narrow door, it is by faith. Faith humbles us. It reduces us to nothing until we must despair of all our good works and cleave only to God's grace. For that we must forsake all else. But the Cainite saints imagine good works to be the narrow door. Here, they do not humble themselves, nor do they despair of their good works. No, lading themselves with the cumbersome bundles of their collected deeds, they strive to pass through the door, and they will pass as only as a camel with a great hump passes through the eye of a needle. We come to the Lord recognizing that nothing that we have is good enough, nothing we do is good enough, but we know one who was good enough and who did good enough and who did it for us, and by faith we claim what he has done for us, and therefore the final truth is the narrow way leads to fellowship with eternal God. Verses 29 and 30 remind us, they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God, and there the last will be first, and the first will be last. You and I never had the privilege of hearing Jesus teach. You and I never had the privilege of seeing one of his miracles. You and I never got to sit at his feet, but that in no way disadvantages us. We are no later in the timetable of God than anyone else. Some of us who come in the 20th and 21st centuries will be the first, and some of those who came 2,000 years ago will be the last. Because in God's calendar, what matters is that we come through that narrow gate, through repentance, through faith, clinging to the very promises of God. Clinging to the promise of what God has given us in Christ. He has paid that price. And the good news of the gospel is that he invites us to enjoy the blessing that he has given us. In the world's economy, the rule is who you know. We get ahead by who we know. We advance by who we know. We get promoted by who we know. But in the economy of God, there's a different rule. It's who knows you. And I'll tell you, this one is worth changing the old children's song. It isn't Jesus loves me, this I know. It's Jesus knows me, this I love. Because Jesus knows me, he won't say what he says to those who want to depend on their good works, I never knew you. Because Jesus knows me, he won't say to those who want to depend on their religious deeds, away from me, you evildoers. because Jesus knows me, not because of my good deeds, but because he has graciously given me new life, because he has forgiven me, because as I come to him in repentance, he forgives my sins, and daily I experience a new birth of forgiveness as I drown the old Adam every morning, celebrating my new life in Christ. As every day I read the catechism and discover that I am to fear God above all things, love God above all things, trust God above all things, that I am not to slander my neighbor, I'm not to gossip against my neighbor, I'm not to disrespect those God's put into my life as authority figures, I'm not to be envious or covetous of others and what they have, I'm not to become angry and want ill to happen. As the law shows me my sin and the gospel shows me the answer, which is the forgiveness of Christ, which is free and full, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am a baptized child of God, forgiven by the grace of God. Jesus knows me, this I love. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.